Sydney is for sport.
This is one of the great victories.
Listen to this.
The Australian Grand Prix.
Yannick Sinner, the Australian Open.
And Australia win the World Cup.
Driving your kids to the Oval, lacing up for the over 35s, or doing the form. However you're spending it, this decades-long institution is back in 2024 to soundtrack it. Racing royalty, Richard Friedman.
Hey, he's a pretty good guy.
Professional dribbler, Brendan Anakin.
Just need a rugby gym.
Makes you wanna scream.
Another screamer.
Listen to this crowd.
And a rotating cast of some of this country's finest athletes. If it's happening in sport, it'll be dissected here. Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
Oh, happy. Well, it's not Easter Saturday, it's just Saturday. And it gets a bad rub, the Saturday.
Why can't it be Easter Saturday?
Well, they never call it that. It's Good Friday.
I've always
and then
called
you,
it
nah,
that.
It's Easter Sunday, and then it's Easter Monday, and Saturday just gets left out, and I'm off it. Happy Easter Saturday.
I'll make that a grievance, I think.
Yeah, absolutely, you should. Richard Friedman here, as always, that man cackling. Well, I'm very thrilled to have this man here. Former Panthers flyer, played for the Blues, represented his country. Did South for a bit, but forget about that. It's Josh Mansour.
Hi, boys. How's it
going? Hey, Josh.
How's it going?
It's great to have you here in the rotating chair.
I love it. I love it, mate. I'm keen for the debut. Let's get this show started.
I have to say, too, I say it to every Panthers player. Thank you for your service.
Oh, thank you.
From Trevor Gilmeister to Craig Gower to now Josh Mansour, thank you for your service.
It's a pretty awesome company, to be honest.
There was only two people. How's life after footy?
My life's great. I've been keeping myself busy. I've got a renovation business. Got a rugby league academy. I've got a family of three. Mate, life is great. I've got my own podcast as well. So dibbly dabbling with media now.
Mate.
Really enjoying it.
And you're playing soccer too?
Yeah.
You were telling me off air?
That was an exclusive. I was going to break that.
Well, sorry, man. You and me both.
That's
Camden,
breaking news.
I'm Camden Falcons Division 5. What are you? Are you better than me?
I'm Div 3.
Oh, okay.
I'm renovator, former rugby league player, play soccer. Is that breaking news? Really?
Oh, not really. I like to think it is.
Some breaking news coming out of Melbourne with the AFL drugs saga. Yeah. That's been right across the papers this week.
Do you know, I think we're talking to Damien Barrett later in the show.
We are, do you know?
And he'll be very interesting because that is a joke, that policy down there. That is an absolute joke. It's designed to keep players on the paddock. Mm. It's not about player health and all the crap, the nonsense that they go on with.
It's just wild. And I don't know if they're fixing it, Rich. They're calling it a multi-million dollar cover-up. And I don't know if they're fixing it.
Well, I don't know if it's been covered up because everybody knew what was going on, including, I think, the AFL.
Except the public.
No, there were plenty of public knew what was going on too.
Mm. Reckon?
Yeah. This policy is not about stopping people from taking drugs. It's about hiding people who do.
All right. We're going to get to that after 11 o'clock. Tigers fans, get ready to shout me down from the rooftop because my top three today is why the Tigers should move to Campbelltown, why they should get rid of Leichhardt Oval.
Get rid of Leichhardt.
We are taking your calls.
I'll take you out to Roselle. You know what's going to happen to you. You're only a little man.
Please. Once he goes, you're only a little man. He keeps calling me a little man. And then I said, well, we'll go back to back. And he started to walk towards me. And then he just about faced, turned the other way because he could very clearly see I was much taller than him.
Why wearing those lift shoes that you have?
What, these ones?
With all the ins and outs of sport.
There it is. That's out.
This is Triple M's Dead Set Legends. Friedman. Anakin.
Let's cover some footy first. Let's go back to Thursday night, Panthers versus Roosters. Mm. The Panthers weren't given much chance in this one, which I was surprised by. Of course, plenty of outs for them. Mm. But 22-16, the Roosters came home with a wet sail, but not good enough for the reigning premiers.
Yeah, I was with the Roosters, to be honest with you. I chose with my head that game. But, I just feel like they had all the star power and I feel like Kiri's kind of introduction back into the team kind of really unraveled things for the Roosters. Mm. And the thing about the Panthers, they're never going to beat themselves. And with the Roosters the last few years, they have done that. Yeah. They're poor with discipline, they're poor with the ball. And I feel like they were very lateral. And the Panthers defense was just absolutely eating them up. And I know there was a controversial call in that game, which I'm sure we'll touch on later. But, again, with Penrith, they're going to stick with you for the full 80 minutes. Mm. And, it's the old cliche, simple footy, but it's not real simple to play on, when it comes down to it.
The thing that I was not so much amazed, but But to the extent that it was, and I was surprised at how good Luai was in the absence of Cleary.
Yeah, well,
he just, how do you fit those two into one team?
He's won most of the game. He's only lost one game without Cleary.
How do you fit the two of them into the one team? Because he took over Luai. He was just the go-to man. And there was no question about that. And when Cleary's there, he's the go-to man.
Well, while they're so good and complement each other so greatly is because Luai is very good off the cuff, right? And, you know, he's so good with his feet. You know, he'll if he reaches a dead end on the left edge, he'll bounce back to the middle and test out those middle forwards. And then next thing, they're striking on the right edge. So that's what's so good about Luai. But the best thing about Naif is so calm, he's level-headed, and he's so structured. So he's very good at getting the team across the park where he needs him. He gets him to the points where they need him. And again, I thought Luai was outstanding, and he's definitely rose to the occasion every time Nathan hasn't played.
A credit to their system as well, with Brad Schneider just slipping in. I think it was only 16 games in the NRL before he went to the UK.
Great composure.
Wasn't he wonderful?
Great composure for a guy stepping in for a superstar.
Big game too.
Yeah.
Yeah, massive game. And I feel like that's the mentality with the Penrith Panthers, this next man up. Yeah. Whoever gets the fuel in those shoes and puts on that jersey number, they have to, they're asked to do a job, and it's, you know, it's up to them to do it. And I feel like every time, like, you look at all the players that have gone and the players that have come in, like, you there's the question mark, are the Panthers going to be able to do it? Are they going to do it? Are they going to do it? And they keep answering that question. It's 4 years in a row in the grand final. Like, they just keep answering it.
Edward scored one of the great tries.
Oh.
That was just incredible. Oh. That was just amazing, you know, to have the composure to step back, drop the ball on your foot, run around a defender and beat someone else to the ball.
Yeah. And the Roosters weren't that bad either. You said a few errors.
No,
they'll be at the pointy end this year.
They only went down narrowly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, you know, could easily have won the match without a flash of brilliance from someone like Edwards.
Good Friday footy was a bit of fun at a course stadium. Unconvincing, I'd say, though. The Rabbitohs just getting over the Bulldogs 20-16. And didn't the Bulldogs show a bit of gumption 10-0 down early? In the past, you'd probably expect they get the cleaners put through them, but not in this case.
Well, I feel like the Bulldogs did everything they can to try and lose that game. But, you know, you've got two injuries, and then you've got, obviously, the sim binning from Curtis Moran. And don't get me wrong, he had an outstanding game. He was very unlucky to not score under the sticks as well. But I thought Souths completed very high. They didn't want to, you know, lose the game. Because I feel like Souths' Achilles heel has been the discipline. You know, they have dropped a lot of ball. They haven't completed their sets. And they've completed at 94%. So completing around there, you're going to win a football game. But the alarming thing for me is they just won that game. The Bulldogs gave the ball away 12 times. And they also had two players not take part in most of that game.
Yeah, I know that the execution was not where it needs to be with the Bulldogs, you know. But I do see signs that Seraldo's system, they're starting to believe it. And they're starting to, you know, we were talking about this a couple of weeks ago and said, come on, just give him some time. It'll come right.
I agree. I
see signs that it's coming right.
Well, it starts with defence, and it's a whole lot better than what it was. Yeah. Concerning signs for Adokar too.
Yeah.
But he went off with a different problem though, wasn't it?
Yeah, concussion.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
That wasn't the problem. It wasn't the shoulder problem.
No, concerning scenes when he was knocked out.
Yeah.
So he'll be gone for 11 days.
What's your take on it? What do you think on it?
Well, you can't come in like that. You're sliding in, aren't you?
Yeah. Like, I feel like, again, just because the microscope is on Latrell in that particular instance, as a fullback, you're doing whatever you can to put you got to put your body on the line to try and stop a try. And is Latrell going in to take his head off intentionally? No, he's not doing that. And it all happens in milliseconds.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he had...
But there has to be a duty of care.
There has to be. Yeah, I agree.
What about the Whiten tackle?
That is black and white. Like, that was a clear hip job. Like, you know, he had an outstanding game, don't get me wrong. But, you know, Preston was heading to that try line, and it was a classic hip-dropping tackle. Like, even Preston...
But it was reviewed by the bunker. No problem.
That's what I don't understand. That's what I'm confused about. That's what baffles me. But, you know, us three... I think we all agree that was a classic hip drop tackle.
They get all the big names in sport.
Big names.
And Richard Friedman and Brendan Anakin too. Triple M's Dead Set Legends. If it happened overnight, you'll hear it in the Triple M Dead Set Legends Sports Update.
Got your soapbox out. You ready?
Yeah.
Ready to stand on it? The NRL's obstruction rule under the spotlight once again. Well, it decided last week's Manly Eels match. Some dubious calls in Thursday night's clash against the Roosters and the Panthers, and you ain't into it, mate.
No, I think that the rule's a mess, and I think they are ruling out what are legitimate tries, and I think people would rather see a questionable try than a proper try ruled out. I think people want to see more tries. I don't think it really suits the game of rugby league. Now, just going back to the Manly Power match,
yep.
Jake Trbojevic gets called for obstruction on Luca Moretti. Luca Moretti was out of gas. Luca Moretti had clocked off, right? In the Panthers-Roosters match, yeah. Now, when Edwards is trying to, you know, cross the field to save the try in the corner and gets impeded by Jared Warrior-Hargraves, I actually think that was obstruction under their rule, right? Because two things I think you've got to have to rule an obstruction. The tackling player or the potential tackling player, the one who is obstructed, has to have one, the opportunity to tackle the other player. If he's out of the play, right, he's got no hope of getting to the other, to the player with the ball, none, then it can't be obstruction. Mm. Even if he is standing in the line, even if the tackling player runs into him, that's not obstruction. And they have to have a second part to it to get an obstruction. The player that is obstructed has to have the intent to tackle that player. Moretti had no intent.
This is the problem, and it is the subjectivity of the rule. So Graham Annesley came out and said that dubious call in the Panthers game, they got that wrong.
No, I disagree.
This is the problem, and I disagree that they got...
I'll tell you why I think...
The Manly one. Yeah,
I know he was a long way off the ball-carrying player, Edwards, but he was motoring across field, and they were still 10 metres from the line when he was obstructed. Now, he's not to know that player's not going to try and step inside or jig backwards or cost themselves that half second that it would take him to get there. I think he had intent, and I think, given the rub of the green, he might have had the opportunity. I'm happy with that obstruction.
There has to be some accountability with our attackers, of course. I know. With Jared's case, like, does he hit the brakes 1 metre or does he just keep sprinting? Because he did cancel his run. He did stop, but... Yeah. Does Dylan Edwards actually make that tackle? I don't think so.
Well, I know you don't agree. Yeah. You don't think he can make that much ground. But you're not to know what the ball-carrying players are going to do, and they were still 10 metres off the line.
True. Yes, true. And again, it comes back to subjectivity, I should say, and it has to be black and white. Look at the parameters, all right, around the rule.
Can't be. Everything's subjective.
That's true, but...
Everything is subjective.
If we're looking certainly at your music tastes.
If we're looking at the parameters in place, you cannot impede a defender for trying to make a tackle. But when you go to the case, like you said, with Luca Moretti's case, he wasn't even in a jog.
No.
And
there was no intent
for him to make that tackle on Trbojevic.
But you said you were going to fix it. So.
Well, all you've got to do is apply these two criteria. You're in the bunker. You look at that and say, Moretti, no opportunity because he was jogging, walking, and no intent.
Yeah.
No obstruction.
Yeah.
You might get to a situation where they say, okay, player A, who was obstructed, he did have the opportunity, but he had no intent, no obstruction. Or he did have the intent, but he had no opportunity, no obstruction. You've got to satisfy both criteria, and then you can call obstruction. You'll get a lot less obstruction tries ruled out, and I think the public would be happy about
it. But everyone's different. Again,
not really.
Everyone's interpretation is different.
Everyone's interpretation, absolutely. Of that rule. It's as black and white as it can be
at
the moment.
That's the interpretation. Opportunity and intent. That's it.
Very good.
Get him in the bunker.
You don't want him in the bunker. You think the decisions are long now. We're going to be sitting there until Tuesday. Rich trying to make a decision. Now, why I did that? Nah, shut up.
If it happens on the field, in the change rooms, or the car park, hear about it here. Triple M's Dead Set Legends, Richard Friedman and Brendan Anakin.
People are stopping me on the street, man. They're saying Brendo's top three. Loving it. Can't get enough of Brendo's top three. Oh, yeah.
What, one person stopped you?
Yeah, and thank you, Greg.
Thanks, Mum.
Yeah. Today, I think, might be an unpopular one, at least with, a portion of Tigers fans. The top three reasons to move the Tigers to Campbelltown. Now,
here we go.
Born and bred in Campbelltown, you know that. My links to the Southwest.
You admit that? No.
Yeah, fine. Of course I do. I'm very proud of where I come from, and I think it's a great community. It's one of the fastest growing, which is
indeed
one of the,
it is.
One of the reasons. I know you do. But first of all, your thoughts. I mean, you've played there, Josh.
Yes.
Leichhardt Oval. Should the NRL save it?
I think they should. Yeah, definitely. I think Leichhardt, again, we look at it as a wonder of the world, right? And as a player, the atmosphere is second to none. And, you know, I'm quite biased with suburban grounds. Like, I love playing on suburban grounds. Like, don't get me wrong, I love playing the glitz and glam of big stadiums and modern stadiums. But the suburban ground's got a soul. It has a soul. Like, it's It's heritage.
It's a good word.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and I personally believe I want to go against bringing it to
Canberra
full time.
That's fine. And someone has to.
You know, Balmain fans, grab your torches and pitchforks. And
See, this is the problem. The Balmain have always had the upper hand in that merger, or at least it's felt like that. So one of my points is the Southwest, it's been starved of footy for way too long. Way too long. Because Leichhardt's been, you know, the hub, and they call it the spiritual home. And it is the spiritual home of Balmain.
Yep.
Now, I think it's easier to get a full house at Balmain.
I knew you'd bring up crowds. Well, have a go at some of these crowd attendances for Campbelltown, okay? The record was 20,000. That was Tigers versus Cowboys in 2005. What happened that year?
Yeah, okay.
Well, they won the grand final.
Yes, they did.
In 2010, 2011, multiple attendances in Campbelltown of 19,000 plus. They made the top four both years.
What happened since?
Well, the Tigers didn't play very well and people stopped going. And also, by admission, Shane Richardson said...
This is why you need Roselle. This is why you need Leichhardt Oval.
Maybe they need to play better.
No.
How about that?
No, because they don't play better, mostly. Right? And at least you can get a full house in that tiny little ground. It gets some atmosphere. Let the people enjoy it. I don't see, if you're playing, if the Tigers are playing the Roosters at Campbelltown, there's half the crowd not going. Right? None of those people from the eastern suburbs are gone out there. They just don't. If they're playing Manly, they will not cross the Spit Bridge. They'll barely cross the Spit Bridge to get married.
They don't need to with the population growth out there, especially within the next 10 years.
Are you saying Balmain supporters are more loyal than West supporters right now?
Yeah, that's offensive. Magpies were moved out there in 87, and by 2000, they didn't have their own club anymore.
Don't put words in my mouth.
So they've been starved of footy for too long. The stadium isn't falling apart. Campbelltown is a wonderful stadium.
Yep.
And
Can't they continue with both?
Because they need funding for Leichhardt, and they're not getting any.
Well, I think they will get it.
What is the funding that
state government?
That's not happening.
No, they've said no.
They've said no.
They've knocked it back.
Plenty of backflips go on there.
You reckon?
I wouldn't give up the fight there.
I would.
I would too. I think it's a dead end.
Also, the NRL can't purchase it because it's not a sound investment, because it's a depreciating asset. Unless you build something on it.
What do you mean?
Which they're never going to do.
Build the land.
Yeah.
Buy the land.
Yeah.
That land's worth a fortune.
Yeah, the land is, but you need to redevelop on it for it to be.
Yeah. So,
okay, and then what, the NRL knocks down Leichhardt Oval? Well, and imagine the furor then.
It makes an enormous
it
problem.
It doesn't need to be knocked down, but it needs to be renovated.
Absolutely
right?
It does, but it's always a depreciating asset unless you build something else. Yes, it is.
No, only,
in its current state,
only,
yes.
Only the buildings, the stands and things would be depreciating. The land is appreciating.
Absolutely.
Well, it doesn't have to be held for NRL games. Well, can't the NRL lease it to, say, the A-League or to other sports as well?
That's a fair point. Get on the phone. 133 53. Should the Tigers move permanently to Campbelltown? $100 Red Rooster voucher in their foyer as well.
And who's judging this? You?
No,
because I know what you'd have to say to get that Red Rooster voucher.
Game, set, and match. And time permitting, many other sporting cliches. Triple M's Dead Set Legends with Richard Friedman and Brendan Anakin.
I will start with Brett in Windsor. Morning, Brett. Your thoughts, brother?
I reckon they should play 50-50. 50% at Leichhardt and 50% at Campbelltown.
What's wrong
with
that?
Very logical.
What's wrong with that?
Like that one. Like a lot of people have got to travel to games. It's a good 2.5 hour trip down there from, other side of, Sydney, Penrith or...
Yeah, but it's also a long trip. It's a long trip for those people out there to travel in, which they do regularly.
Yeah, but there's probably more Balmain supporters around the Leichhardt area than what there is in Campbelltown. Don't forget. I mean, it's a spiritual ground
for Balmain supporters. Yes.
Yeah, the SG ball plays on there. I'm pretty sure there's a lot of other football clubs also can utilize. There might not be the best facilities there.
Well, there's not. They're not. It's crumbling. That's why it should move to Campbelltown.
Facilities are terrible, but the ground is quirky, and the ground is something unique.
Living in the past, man.
And I think you've got to hold on to those things. They're heritage things. Yeah. You have to hold on to them. If it's all at just huge stadia, that's fine, but it loses something.
Campbelltown has its charm, doesn't it, Roger in Picton?
It certainly does, Brendo.
You reckon they should move out there?
I reckon they should move out there tomorrow. I'll be out there on the 14th to watch them anyway, but they've been terribly let down by this merger. Born and bred in Granville, moved out to Picton, so I've always been a Western Suburbs supporter. When you look at the jersey, very much our main, you'll see a little tiny magpie on it, whereas West are the major partners in this merger, and they seem to have been the lesser one throughout this, well, this last, what is it, 25 years now.
See, it amazes me. Like West fans, they never let go. Like, it's been 25 years since their club really existed. And North Sydney Bears fans are exactly the same.
Yeah.
They will not let go.
And nor should they. I don't mind the 50-50 either. If Leichhardt gets a bit of a revamp, that's cool. But as Shane Richardson said earlier in the week, we always take the crap games to Campbelltown. That's what he said.
Well, that should stop.
It should.
I'll agree with that.
I agree with that.
Absolutely.
Better games at Campbelltown, keep Roselle.
Let's go to Michelle in Barowla. What do you think, Michelle?
Oh, 100% we go to Campbelltown. We are the Tigers. We are West Tigers. We're not West, we're not Tigers. We're the West Tigers, have been for over 20 years, and I'm really over the Balmain part of it. You go to Leichhardt, everyone's wearing their Phillips jerseys. Like, get over it. Let's move on. The growth area in Campbelltown's huge. We can start our own tribalism and stuff out there. It'll take a while, but it'll happen because there's a population out there who love football who aren't getting it. And yes, we do get the crap games at Campbelltown for some reason. And Leichhardt is horrible. I was there on Saturday night. I'm a member and it was horrible. I'm sitting in seats and I had to go and find toilets and for hours and trying to get a drink. It was terrible.
It is quirky.
Horrible.
I tell you what, I love your passion.
Oh, absolutely. Same.
That was same. Passionate.
And because of that passion, you, my friend, and also because you agree with me, you're off to Red Rooster.
How did we know, Josh?
$100 to spend there. The Rooster's calling you to try Red Rooster's new range of Ripper Rolls today. Good on you, Michelle.
Thanks, Michelle.
Thank you.
No worries. See you, legend. Producer Beck says, and this is Producer Beck, 65% of callers, and we had quite a few, say move to Campbelltown.
Wow. Really?
Hmm.
That's surprising.
I've surprised myself.
Wow.
I was on a winner for once.
Adjudicating another week of sport.
You are the worst umpire that I've ever seen in my life.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends, Richard Friedman, Brendan Anakin.
The AFL, they've been rocked this week by accusations of an alleged systematic cover-up of illicit drug taking in the league. For the latest, we're joined by AFL Media's chief correspondent and Triple M Footy's own Damien Barrett. In Sydney, we're a little bit sheltered, I guess, but within the context of the league, this is a massive story, Damo.
Yeah, it is. And yet at the same time, there's been a line of sight on it from everyone in the game for the best part of 20 years when they introduced this policy, which is separate to the performance-enhancing drug policy way back in 2005. There's been regular commentary around it, and it's obviously exploded this week with Andrew Wilkie in federal parliament using parliamentary privilege to put it out there in the public domain, and it's absolutely and rightly taken off as a massive national story, not just an AFL one.
Damien, Richard Friedman here. Mate, for people in Sydney, we're sort of perplexed by the whole drug testing regime in the AFL. Can you just basically outline how it works, because we read stories here, you can be positive four times before anyone knows about it.
Yeah, and I've got no doubt there's even a number greater than that at times under this system. Look, to me, this is a 20-year story, basically, and the one problem I think the AFL has never, ever, ever been able to fix is the fact that there are two drugs policies. Now, the one we're referring to in this conversation is the illicit drugs policy. It is separate to the WADA policy, which is run by Sports Integrity Australia, which every government-aligned sports body signs up to. So what I will say from the outset, there's nothing stopping Sports Integrity Australia having tests or conducting tests on the players that we are referring to here in terms of these players who have had the multiple strikes, in inverted commas, under the illicit drugs policy. So there's nothing stopping Sports Integrity Australia doing that. So that is, to me, Richard, the biggest problems the AFL's had, the public relations element to this story, the fact that there are two drugs policies, and one does relate to performance enhancement, and the other one is their own policy, which, again, it's a complicated policy. To me, it was introduced as much for the AFL to be able to control some of its image. If you go back to that time frame, the West Coast Eagles footballers who won the premiership in 2006 and have had a littered history of people not being able to control their lives off field with their behaviours. That was the time frame in which this policy was introduced.
Damo, Josh Mansell here. Just quick one. Obviously, you've got a four-strike policy. What is the process for players if you do get test positive first, second, third time? Is there counselling involved? Like, what's the process there?
Yeah, look, they initially set it up as a three-strike policy, but it was never, ever designed to punish publicly. And I took my own head. It took me a long time to get my own head around the medical model of it, Josh. When there were three strikes, there were never players outed at three strikes. They then reduced it to two strikes, and players were never outed at two strikes. They're only ever outed if a member of the public takes a photo of the action or the police get involved. And I raise that because this has now been going for 20 years. There's been one player who's been added publicly at a third strike stage. That was a guy by the name of Travis Tuck who played for Hawthorn. And the third strike on his example was the police involvement when they found him with the substance. So it was never, ever designed. And to me, that was its greatest problem. Now, they never sold it properly. If they'd have used the word illicit drugs code of conduct, I feel that would have been a better sell to the public. And this is what we're dealing with right now. It's the optics and it's the PR.
Damien, just to everybody outside the sport, it just looks like this policy is designed just to keep star players on the paddock.
Yeah.
Whatever it takes to keep them on the paddock. It's not about player health. It's not about protecting players. Not about rehabbing players. Not about making players think about what they're doing. It's designed to keep players on the paddock.
I've got that view myself. I've had it for a long time. Having said that, I have over maybe the past 10 years been made aware, and I'm not going to name names here, but it actually has helped a lot of players to get through whatever it is they're going through at that point in time. Now, do they want that made public? Do the people around them want that made public? I mean, what they're doing, and I'm not defending it. I've been a critic of it for the 20 years, so I'm not defending it at all. But I will acknowledge the medical health element to it. It's dear to the people who have introduced that element to it. And I do know that it has absolutely assisted a lot of people who have, players, who have been through a lot of trouble. Now, is it the right way? Is naming and shaming or naming, would that have been equally over the journey a better way to do it? I reckon it would have, because I think there's a greater deterrent to the naming than what we've actually been subjected to. And this number of 100 during the week, guys, I mean, you can rule that out. It's somewhere between 10 and 20 in the past 12 months, the best I can read.
It's still too many.
I'm not disputing that. I'm not disputing that. I think one's too many, but it's not 100. But again, that's just in the past 12 months. If you then go back, I mean, they used to release the numbers of the players that got strikes up until about 2015. Now, when I say the numbers, they just did, there were 26 positive tests among the system. Now, that they stopped doing that, from image, in 2015.
The bad publicity.
No.
So anything to avoid bad publicity, bury it with this policy, is good for the AFL, is that right?
And I guess you say as well, Damo, it's gone on for a couple of decades. It's come to a head now. Are they going to change the policy? Is there going to be increased punitive measures?
No, they won't. I mean, forget that too. I mean, the Players Association won't allow it to be done. And they try to make out as they do. They're the good guys in all of this by signing off to it. Well, there's no way they will allow a punitive element to this policy as much as the AFL and I think of the people who run the clubs want there to be, because to have the punitive element to it, you do need to name, and they're not going to name. Certainly at a first strike, they're not going to name. And again, history says to me there is no way they're going to name at a second strike, because what was happening under the third strike policy, when players had two detections, they took them out of the system. I've reported on this over the 20 years. They took them out of the system at that stage and basically kept testing them, but outside the actual official testing mechanism.
So they never got a third.
That's what I'm saying. They've never got a third. There's
joke.
One third. Yeah. And then they reduced it to two strikes. And guess what? We've never got a second.
No, because they take the first strikes out of the system.
And it's not going to change, apparently. Well, that's comprehensive, at least. Damien Barrett, always a pleasure. Catch him on Triple M Footy and, of course, AFL's chief media correspondent. Thanks, Damo.
Thanks, Damo.
Ladies and gentlemen,
if it's happening in sport, you'll hear about it here.
The greatest happening in sport.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends, Richard Friedman and Brendan Anakin.
Round four, we're going to Dragon Sea Eagles, Wynn Stadium, I believe, this afternoon. That's Triple M Sydney's match from 5:00. You can hear that on the Listen Rap as well. Surely Manly get the job done there.
Both teams gave up early leads last week, so believe it or not, Dragons have been a bit of a bogus side for Manly down at Wynn Stadium, but I'm liking the Seagulls for this one.
Manly were robbed last week.
Oh, the obstruction thing.
Yes,
we're going to go back into that, are we?
Back into that. Yeah. We covered
that. We're not letting it go.
Yeah. No, if you missed that, that'll be on the podcast afterwards. It takes up the bulk of it. The Warriors versus Knights tomorrow. You can hear that game here in the listener app from 4 o'clock. Mm. Knights Smokies, maybe, or are the Warriors going to get it done?
I'm loving the Warriors. Playing at home, New Zealand, should be a packed crowd. I'm loving Roger Tuivasa-Sheck back at fullback, his preferred position. He's definitely got the K's in his legs now.
Do you reckon he's lost a couple of yards of pace?
Look at those calves on him. I don't think so. But saying that, I think Newcastle, there's still a few question marks. I think Gagai's out as well.
Gagai's out. I'm loving Cogger back in the halves, though.
I am too.
Straighten that attack.
You're a Jack Cogger fan, aren't you?
I love him. I happen to know Jack, but I'm loving him in the side.
I'm going to go with the Warriors. I feel like they're going to be too strong for the Knights, unfortunately.
Yes, indeed. And the Sharks Raiders.
Mm. This is an interesting one.
Well, yeah, because Sharks favourites, I believe, but I don't see the Raiders getting beaten.
That's a bit bizarre, that one. I was really leaning towards the Raiders for this game. I just feel like the Sharks can't stay with them. The way the Raiders have been playing has been tough, gritty. They've been playing simple football, but it's been working for them. Mm. And, you know, they don't turn the ball over too cheaply. The Sharks have been, and the Sharks have their own injury concerns as well. So I think they're a bit light up front, if we're going to be totally honest.
I reckon Ricky looks at his Raiders this year and said, righto, a bit light on stars. Mm. So we've just got to play the most disciplined, basic, grinding game that we can and drag everyone down to our level.
Mm.
It's been working.
It's easy to say, but it's not easy to do, like the most of the time, right? So
playing with a lot of heart. Zach Hosking is a wonderful acquisition as well.
Yes,
he's been
great.
He's starting, I believe, with Elliot Whitehead out. And Monday, we got some footy. Eels Tigers, that's going to be an absolute belter from CommBank.
Love
3 o'clock.
This game.
You'll hear it here on Triple M and the listener app. Tigers always lift on an Easter Monday.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. And they love playing at CommBank Stadium. It's a bit of a home game for them, I should say. A few question marks over the Eels. You know, Mitch Moses out. See how that's going to change for them. And they've got Blaze, a rookie, two-game rookie into the halves as well. So it'll be interesting to see what he dishes up this week.
Bookies have got Parramatta 2s on.
Yeah, well, look at the Tigers' performance last week. Yeah, and similar to Canberra, like everyone's writing them off. And I feel like the Tigers have got their act together. I feel like they're obviously putting all their trust in Benji. And, you know, it is a Battle of the West derby. I'm liking the West Tigers.
Hey. I'll be honest. Huge call. And we like that here on Dead Set Legends. There you go. That's your NRL that's happening on Triple M and the listener app.
With all the ins and outs of sport.
There it is. That's out.
This. Is Triple M's Dead Set Legends, Friedman, Anakin.
Dead Set Legends on Sydney's Triple M, Richard Friedman, Brendan Anakin. We've had the great Josh Mansour in today, and we are better for it. Richard, I reckon.
Of course.
Absolutely.
I have an expert in the chair for...
Can I keep coming?
He stopped himself.
For a morning.
With us for the next couple of weeks as well.
I love that.
Unreal. Excellent. Thank you for that. If you missed anything today, you can catch up on the listener app. Saturday Scrum coming up after us. We've got Tony Squires, Ryan Girdler, Wade Graham, Brent Reed to preview the rest of your Easter footy. Before we go, you can react to this however you see fit, okay? Because he's going to come off the back fence. He's going to complain about something. If you don't agree with it, you don't have to.
There's a bunch of dribble, right?
That's between you and me.
Hey, I can hear you. I'm just here.
Is he here? Okay. Even, before you left.
Yeah, he does have headphones on, and that thing does amplify your voice. All right, here we go.
I got a lot of problems with you people. Now you're going to hear about it.
Richard's list of grievances.
Modern technology, the communication revolution, the one thing, apart from social media, which is evil and should be banned, the other thing that annoys me is autocorrect. Autocorrect has the capacity to put you in some of the worst situations when the stupid phone, you know, it can't even order a cup of coffee, the phone, but it'll change what you're saying.
Yeah.
Read your mind.
I love autocorrect. Well, I think it's a generation thing, right?
I tell you what, you will learn to hate it. Everybody out there would have a terrible autocorrect story.
Yeah.
I have one, and this may seem a little odd to you, but my friends and I were doing a little bit of boating, right? And we were deciding where we would pick someone up.
Very relatable start to the story. Go on.
No,
I'm with you.
But I texted and said, I fancy your wharf. Which you have changed. Lost me.
I mean, I wasn't on board to begin with, pardon the pun, but I'm completely gone now, but go on.
What do you reckon it changed Worf to? Wife.
He's funny.
So I'm going, oh, no, no, just didn't mean that.
I'm really into your wife.
I fancy your wife.
Yeah.
How dare it?
Great.
It's just...
I was wondering, too, because you keep going on about, oh, duck this, duck that. Yeah. Are you into ducks, or is that autocorrecting as well?
No, there's one thing word I use quite a lot
yeah.
that it keeps changing.
I know.
It changes the F word to fun.
Fun, yeah.
You think about that. Every time you want to say that F word, and it changes it to fun.
But I knew that, because fun not synonymous with you, so I was like, he definitely is swearing at me here.
It's a disgrace. It's a shocking thing. It hasn't helped society. And should be taken off.
And you're a Luddite. More Dead Set Legends next week. We'll catch you later.